Is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. As the government shutdown drags on, the Trump administration announces that food assistance for some 40 million Americans will be cut off as of this weekend. President right now is in Tokyo. He has met with the emperor and will meet with the country's first woman prime minister later tonight. Hurricane Melissa has already killed three people in Haiti and is now headed for eastern Cuba and for Jamaica as a Category 5 storm. ABC's Ike Ajachi is in Kingston, Jamaica.
Right now, it is a little light. The rain is coming down intermittently. The wind is a little light. It's starting to pick up. That's expected to get really, really intense. This storm has forced airport shutdowns island-wide, sending residents here in a scramble for supplies in what could be the strongest storm to hit Jamaica ever.
Russia has tested a new nuclear-powered cruise missile capable of reaching nearly 9,000 miles. That as the Ukraine war drags on and as the Kremlin warns the U.S. against sanctioning strikes deep inside Russia. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thied. An attack at a Madison high school has led to several arrests. Three teens have been arrested for the attack, described as brutal and caught on tape at Madison West High School. Police say a student was beaten up and kicked in a bathroom late in the morning on October 15th. The student had to be hospitalized. The suspects range in age from 15 to 17. They face multiple charges, including first-degree reckless injury. Madison police say their investigation of the attack continues. A Madison woman accused of attacking her father with a knife is headed to trial. 34-year-old Jamie Anderson faces attempted homicide charges in the August attack. A Dane County judge entered a non-guilty plea on Anderson's behalf on Thursday. She's accused of walking some 18 miles from her home in Madison to Stoughton to attack her father with a knife. He escaped and was able to contact police, who arrested Anderson without further incident. Anderson, who claimed she attacked her father because he was the devil, has been ruled competent to stand trial despite her hallucinations. She's being held on a $500,000 cash bond. Healthcare providers are trying a new tactic to promote the healing effects of nature. They're actually writing prescriptions for it. Time in nature can lower blood pressure and reduce at least the perception of stress. Doctors recommending time outdoors isn't new, but hundreds of them over the last decade have taken to issuing formal prescriptions in hopes of getting people to follow through. For WRCE News, I'm Tim Thied.
The Packers sink the Steelers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Pittsburgh, where the Packers rallied in the second half to win 35-25. Matt LaFleur on what he saw from his team despite a slow start.
The greatest thing I saw from our guys was I didn't see any panic. They stayed together, and we cleaned up some things that we didn't do in the first half.
Tight end Tucker Kraft scored his second touchdown of the game in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, we saw some things in the first half where, you know, we were just one block away from this. We looked ourselves in the mirror and we said that wasn't good enough. We came back out in the second half and we executed.
Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers was asked about hearing the Go Pack Go chants during the game.
I've heard that chant for 18 years, so Packer fans travel really well. First time in a while I've used silent count for a home game. That's a credit to those Packer fans.
At Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Not just headlines, insight. Not just noise, conversation. WRCE is your home for real news and great conversation in Richland Center.
It is going to be a pretty nice day today. Mostly sunny with a high in the upper 50s this afternoon with just a light breeze. Tonight, scattered showers after midnight are low in the upper 30s to near 40. Tomorrow, scattered showers with a high in the mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, and it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Please, something. Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dustin Mack from Appleton's History Museum at the Castle. We talk Wisconsin Dells ghost boat tours, and musician Strategic joins me in studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back up north on a Monday morning, last week of October, October 27th. 2025. Parker Olson producing things in Madison Studio A2. Selena Heller standing by in Eau Claire. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is AWOL, says that she cheered too much in Pittsburgh and has no voice left. Apparently a voice is a feature that's required for radio. So we'll tell her to rest up, and we'll hopefully visit with her again coming up on Friday morning. Selena still has a voice. Parker still has a voice. I'm sure they were both yelling and cheering with their TV during the second half of the game yesterday. You know, the one where the guy who gets up super early decided not to watch the second half because I was so demoralized by our kicker missing two field goals. I thought the stage was set for a not fun second half. So I'll be the first to admit I gave up too early.
Wow.
But Parker, you understand where I'm coming from, though.
I do. I fully understand where you're coming from. I just wonder, how did you feel when you woke up? Like, I'd be really upset if I missed that.
Well rested. And B, again, this is not a case where, in olden days, I would have put on my slippers and shuffled out to the door and grabbed the morning newspaper, and uncurled it and cursed the paper boy because it's a little bit wet from hitting the dew on the grass, and then realizing the paper was printed too early and didn't even have the results of last night's game. So I hope the guy on the radio stayed up to watch it to tell me about it. We're not in that age anymore. I can get up at 4. I can take a look at my phone. I can see all the highlights. You know, the first thing I notice is, oh, well, that would have been fun to watch live. But guess what? I have the clips right here. Watch the clips. It was fun. I still get to talk about it and sound bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Perfect. That works too.
At least as close as I get to it. So for the few of you out there that are going, Pat, get to the point, because I too went to bed early. The Packers beat the Steelers 35-25. Jordan Love went 29 of 35, including a franchise record tying 20 straight completed passes at one point. The guy I think is the key to all of this, tight end Tucker Kraft, caught 7 passes for a career high 143 yards, 2 touchdowns. Christian Watson is back, 4 catches for 85 yards. Josh Jacobs, a 3-yard scoring sprint in the first play of the fourth quarter, put the Packers up for good. And so the Packers are 5-1-1. And the funny thing is, everybody looks at that tie like, oh, ick, you know, we got a tie. It might as well be a loss. That tie is keeping us ahead of a lot of other teams right now.
It is.
I'll take that. So
Aaron Rodgers needed to beat the Packers to beat every team in the NFL, and he did not. So he still has not.
Oh, that's still, right. Yeah.
Still has not. Robin Tigerton says the Steelers jerseys looked like highway warning signs.
The arrows, yes.
He says, good morning from Tigerton. Clear skies, light fog, 31 degrees. I had to ride yesterday or Saturday in the Clintonville area, took pictures of the remaining fall colors, mostly along Main Street in Clintonville, and he's got some leaves to mow up today. Speaking of temperatures, by the way, let's get those 7 o'clock temperatures. It's 39 here in Chippewa Falls, 39 in La Crosse. Rapids is at 37. There's some real differences in short distances on the map here. Fond du Lac is at 32, but Oshkosh is 45. Eagle River is 27, but over in Manitowish waters, it's 37 right now. Hayward's at 41 degrees as well. So in talking about the fall colors, I'm going to risk sounding like an old man complaining. And I don't mean that. I just mean we were noticing yesterday, we didn't really get, it wasn't our best fall color year here around here. Now, I don't know where the peak is right now, and maybe they are spectacular. I've seen a few nice areas with a lot of rust mixed in with the yellow, but we did a lot of green to yellow to brown really quick around here. Selena, did you notice that in Eau Claire as well?
No, right across the street. Every time we pull from the driveway, we have these bright red trees just right across the street. And those are so pretty. And at school, when we pull up to school, it's this yellow, really bright, really pretty tree. So we see the, they're beautiful, actually, right across the street right now. Maybe if you want to swing over, you can check these out.
maybe I'll have to do that. Let's see. Alicia says, my maple trees are always the last to shed their leaves. Always cutting the leaf pickup close. Oh yeah, because some places have the leaf pickup. Parker, I don't know what you have here. Do the buildings change color in the fall? Do you guys get trees? Do you get to see some things down there?
They change the colors of the lights shining on the Overture Center. Yeah.
Okay. you've got two lovely lakes around there, and yes, it too can be a very beautiful place to spend some time. But you know, the fall colors just felt a little muted up here this time around.
Yeah.
Not bad. Again, not bad. Just, you know, I'm looking at the leaves or looking at the trees going, you didn't quite live up to your full potential.
It just felt fast. You know? Yeah.
Maybe it went fast. Yes, maybe so. All right.
Sometimes it goes so fast because then like they turn and then there's a big wind and then they're gone.
And then they just go whoomp. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, okay, well, missed that show. All right. Yeah. So Selena's got a story that you can follow over on the Up North News social media sites. Her stories are on Facebook and TikTok and Instagram. And one of your stories recently is about the looming cuts that are out there to families in several different ways. We've talked about the $1 trillion in Medicaid cuts that are coming. Certainly nutrition assistance programs, SNAP funding is going to be running out here in the next, couple of weeks, it sounds like, potentially here in Wisconsin. And then, of course, the issue that's at the heart of all of this is the way that health insurance premiums are going to skyrocket for families because of enhanced tax credits that are expiring. And again, they are expiring. They were planned to expire, but there's a plan out there that would say, let's extend these, the same way that Republicans got to extend the corporate tax cuts under Donald Trump. So they got a little something. Maybe families could get a little something like continuing these enhanced tax credits to keep health insurance from getting so expensive. And Selena, you talk to people for whom, when these health insurance costs and other things start to add up, I mean, this isn't some political game. It's really going to hurt them.
Yeah, it's real families, and it's the reality for so many people across Wisconsin when these subsidies run out at the end of the year. And so this is a retired artist. She's from La Crosse, Kate Bausch, and she got emotional because this is her reality. This is for her and her husband. Her husband is a retired teacher of 38 years. And so they planned their retirements on using these subsidies just for a short time, but that's what they were relying on. And
let's give a listen to Selena's story with Kate Bausch.
The uncertainty, I can't tell you. Unbearable it's been to not know if we're going to have health care next year or what it's going to cost.
In La Crosse, Kate Bausch and her husband are retired but 2 years shy of qualifying for Medicare, so using the Affordable Care Act marketplace for their health care is a must for them. It's not free.
We pay $476. I think some people think, like, if you're on the ACA, that it's free, and it's not. I mean, we still pay, and we're happy to pay.
Their monthly premium is set to skyrocket, though, as Republicans in D.C. appear willing to let the tax credits that make ACA coverage more affordable expire. Kate says the uncertainty of what will happen with these subsidies is enough to put anyone on edge.
We started checking around because if the credits were going to expire, we needed to be covered, and we like to be prepared. So we were quoted upwards of $2,400 a month through a retirement for the state retirement workers. And we can't afford $2,400 a month. If these credits expire, I'm not sure what we will do.
Unless Republicans join Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin and her Democratic colleagues in supporting an extension, the tax credits will expire at the end of the year. And that means out-of-pocket premiums for ACA Marketplace enrollees could go up 75%, according to the research group Kaiser Family Foundation.
This tax break, called the Enhanced Premium Tax Credit, saves more than 230,000 Wisconsinites an average of $500 every single month.
We both have to be on medicine. It's not just doctor visits and that kind of thing. I have asthma. My husband does too. Our inhalers are $500 a month. We're just not sure what we'll do.
Senator Baldwin says if tax credits for the wealthy and corporations can be included in the budget, there's certainly legroom for extending tax credits for conscientious families.
We're looking at, obviously, no Christmas presents that we'll be shopping for this year or next year, probably. We're hoping to take some trips just around the state. We live pretty simply. I'm really sorry. I didn't expect to cry, but it's real.
And I guess that's the point, Selena, we keep trying to make. This is real. This is what people were hoping would be extended because, again, in the 10-plus years that the Affordable Care Act has been around, it has worked compared to the old system, but has always needed to be modified and improved upon. And by not having these premium tax credits renewed, you're taking a step backward to those old days. And you and I both covered so many stories about people who, you know, paid their premiums and the health insurance company just denied them. So, I mean, right now the story is about premiums going up, but what it also means is people either go without insurance or insurance companies are just saying, nope, we're not going to cover you anymore.
Right. And then, they don't get insurance, and then there's more problems, and then they don't have the health care they need. And I was just in, so I'll have this coming up too. I was with a farmer in Pierce County, and he said, you know, it'll be like, if I bleed, then I'll go to the doctor, but otherwise probably not if I don't have health insurance. So we were in his combine chatting at that time as he was combining soybeans. And as of course, you know, there's so many issues for farmers right now. So we're going to hear from him coming up another time too. So
talking not only about health insurance, but also about the soybeans that he's harvesting right there with you, and whether there's going to be a market for them or place to store them or anything like that.
Right. He said, you know, we're sitting here in my combine, we're combining this field, and I'm losing money. This is what I work for all year. Yeah. And I lost money. You know, it's a hard time.
And then on top of that, for any that were, you know, raising cattle as well and expecting, you know, something to go to the American beef market, you now have Argentine beef that's coming in. There's just something all throughout rural Wisconsin for people to look at and say, this is harder than we were expecting to be at this point. And like you said, you're talking to somebody they're combining two or three of these issues all into one. These are not easy times.
Right. And he said, you know, if we get a bailout, the bailout is just going to be, I just have to pay off my fertilizer, and it's for those companies. It doesn't do anything to help me. I'm so far behind. It really doesn't do anything.
No. It goes right to those companies where fertilizer costs have been jacked up again because of Trump's trade war with Canada. For all these stories that Selena Heller works on, check out our social media sites, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, search for Up North News WI and look for her stories there. Selena, thank you very much for the story. Happy Halloween week. We'll talk to you later.
All right, see you.
Okay, but again, look for Selena on social media there. And coming up later this week, another wrinkle in health insurance, and that's all the folks who have to choose new Medicare Advantage plans because there might have been changes along the way with their current plan. We will talk to Ingrid Cunninger, the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol Program Director, about that coming up Thursday. You're going to want to listen if you fit into that category of needing a new Medicare Advantage plan. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your Monday mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Good news! You get an extra hour this weekend. Daylight saving time ends, so remember to turn your clocks back 1 hour before you go to bed Saturday night. Fall back, sleep in, and start your Sunday refreshed. A message from your local Civic Media radio station.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
On our morning show today from WRCO, we put the spotlight on Eagle School. And to join us in the studio, we have Jeff Seaborg. We have a couple of students from Eagle. We have Eaker and we have Abby. And we'll hear from them in just a little bit. But Jeff, you're on the hot seat first of all here. So how's the school year going?
School year is going great, Phil. We're excited, as we are every year for a new year. But this year is particularly exciting for us. We have a new batch of international students that have joined us, and some returning international students. And this is also our first year participating in the school choice program. So that's an exciting opportunity for us and for other parents in the surrounding area of Richland Center.
I saw Eagle School represented in the parade in downtown Richland Center, and you took up like the whole block, it seemed like.
Well, sometimes we do take up quite a bit of space. sometimes you think you take up more space, you got more to say, but we hope that we got the point across about what it is. We're a private Christian school. We put Jesus first in everything that we do, and we hope that was reflected in our presence in the parade.
Let's talk about some of the things that are going on so far and on the calendar coming up, Jeff.
Well, one of the first things that we've got coming up is this November 7th, we have a Brazilian food night. And it is one of the countries that are represented at Eagle School. We've got 8 different countries this year. But it's a student-led, student-participating event They have come up with a menu. They've come up with, the things that they want to do that night. There might be a little Brazilian music playing in the background. People might get up and do a little dancing. But I'm going to let Iker tell you a little bit about the Brazilian food that we're going to offer.
Good morning, Iker. How are you?
Good morning. Doing good.
Awesome. That's so good. Tell us about the night, what you're looking forward to the most.
Okay, so we're planning a very good night, and we will have some of the most famous dishes in our country. We'll start with an appetizer of a deep-fried dough filled with chicken, a creamy chicken, and a side of salad. And then we'll go ahead to our main dish, and then we'll have it's kind of a stew, you know, a black bean stew with different cuts of pork and sausage, and then rice. And then some other different things that we'll have there to make it even better. And then for dessert, we'll have it's a carrot cake in a Brazilian style. So it's a different way than you guys make here. And also an option of flan.
Flan?
Yeah.
Flan.
Flan.
Depending on how you pronounce it.
But and also in a Brazilian style that we make it completely different than you guys make it here.
Can you give us some ways that you make it different?
So we use a condensed milk, and I'm not sure if you guys use this one here, but the time of cook, it takes a lot more time than what you guys make here. So we'll spend like a week preparing all of this, and the desserts has to stay in the oven for, I don't know, like 12 hours, I think. It has to be very slow cooked. And yeah, I think it's delicious, and I hope everybody likes it too.
Do you get that kind of food typically now that you're here in America?
Not really. I'm making it here for the first time with my friends now, Brazilian friends, that we are trying out the dishes we want to make there and to have it ready for everybody that's coming for the Brazilian night.
Do you get many chances to cook? I mean, is that typical, you and your friends cooking together?
So yeah, now in Eagle School in the dorms, we have many Brazilians, so we're like cooking different dishes every day, and sometimes we make some Brazilian food, then we have also Thailand food, we have Korean food, there's all kind of stuff. Now we're trying to make the Brazilian food the best one because of the Brazilian night coming up. So yeah.
So you must be really looking forward to this night.
Yeah. I think it's gonna be an amazing night. We'll have amazing food and also an amazing cultural experience for everybody that's coming. You guys will be able to experience the Brazilian culture as a whole. And yeah, I hope we can really represent Brazil on this night.
That sounds good.
And if you go to our website, Phil, and for the listeners, you'll see information about the Brazilian Food Night. If you follow us on Facebook or Instagram, you'll also see the same information. It's November 7th, 6:30 p.m. It's at the Eagle School up on Fellowship Lane. It's $15 for an adult, $8 for a child, 12 and under. And we really prefer RSVPs. It's quite an undertaking to prepare this food, and we want to make sure that we have enough, but we also don't want to have too much because it's a fundraiser to help support the high schoolers when they go off on their senior trip. And so the kids are excited about it, but we want to be as fiscally responsible as we can so that we don't have any waste and that everybody gets a chance to have their meal. So,
is it hard finding the ingredients, Iker?
So, yeah, some of the things we're grabbing to cook this meal, we'll have to bring some stuff from Brazil. So there's a couple companies that import some stuff from Brazil. And yeah, we'll have to get some ingredients that is not very usual here.
Great. Abby is here as well. And Abby, you're a domestic student. You're right here in Richland Center. But good morning.
I am a domestic student from Richland Center.
Tell me why you like Eagle School.
I like Eagle School because it's a lot of a different environment. Like, we're more hands-on with our students there. And we really like to bring Jesus into what we do. Like, in the mornings, we have homeroom, and we always talk about the Lord and the Bible and what's changing in our lives and how he's helping us. And always, like, the teachers always, if you need something, they're always there to talk with you. They'll always bring Bible references into their classroom no matter what, and they always just try to tell you and their ways and other ways show you what's changing in the world and just show you, like, a better solution for things that we're doing. Very good environment. I would say, like, we're really close with our school. Like when we do things, it's like we're incorporating everyone. We're not leaving people out. We always just wanted to be more hands-on.
Uh-huh. And what grade are you in, Abby?
I am a sophomore this year. I've been at Eagle for about 2.5 years. I came here when I was in eighth grade, and I've enjoyed it ever since.
Sounds like you're making some friends worldwide while at Eagle, aren't you?
Always. I'm always making friends. I love having many friends from all over because they get to tell me about their countries and what they experience and how lovely it is there. But like they always like to come here and experience what we do.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Stay connected to the stories shaping your community and Wisconsin right here on WRCE and on the Civic Media app.
USDA's Farm Service Agency offices are open with limited capacity. Don't forget, that means dairy producers and beef producers. You can protect the value of that beef entity on your farm. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Katie Burgess, dairy analyst with EverAg, explains some of the reasons why you want to look at that next.
Hey, everybody, calm down. It's okay.
Oh, it's coming. The farm animals can always feel it.
Is that an earthquake? I didn't think those happened in the heartland. Aren't we harvesting Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans today?
It's not an earthquake. It's the aftershock of unleashing Z-Series soybeans.
You did mention a yield advantage of nearly 4 bushels an acre.
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
A new dairy beef insurance tool is something that a lot of producers should be taking a look at now. Katie Burgess, one of the dairy analysts with EverAg, explains the benefits.
Right now, the profit is coming from the calf values because the milk prices are only lackluster. And it was kind of perfect timing that USDA launched this product right at the same time that calf values are hitting new record high levels. And so we have been encouraging dairy producers to go out and learn more to see if it would be a good fit for their farm. Because while the milk prices you can protect for next year are only so-so, you can go out and protect nearly record high calf prices out till next summer.
Katie Burgess, a dairy analyst with EverAg, giving some advice on how to protect one component of the financial pie on Wisconsin dairy operations. And again, remember, the U.S. Department of Agriculture Farm Service Agency offices, open with limited capacity, can take your application. Markets are next.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
On Friday, barrel cheese gained a penny and a half to 177. 40-pound block cheese was up a nickel and a quarter at 177 and three quarters. The AA butter, 4 cents higher at 160 and a quarter. November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning up 13 cents, 17.98. December corn up a nickel at 428. March is up 6 cents, 443. November soybeans are up 16 cents at 10.57. January up 15 cents at 10.75. The July wheat currently 9 cents stronger, 5.59 a bushel. Not a bad start to a Monday. There's your market update. I'm Pam Yonke.
News, weather, and sports for Richland Center right here on WRCE, streaming 24/7 online at WRCE.fm.
It is going to be a pretty nice day today, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 50s this afternoon with just a light breeze. Tonight, scattered showers after midnight are low in the upper 30s to near 40. Tomorrow, scattered showers with a high in the mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend sports and news headlines. Also be joined by our friend and colleague, Jane Matt-Nair of Matt-Nair on Air. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
The progressive group, A Better Wisconsin Together, is all about research and stories from real people and empowerment. And their latest research includes the glaring omissions in the attendance record of one member of the Wisconsin State Assembly. We recently talked to Communications Director Lucy Ripp about that. First, we spent some time talking about the first wave of candidates for 2026. Now, whether it's public polling or election results, it is clear that most people in Wisconsin believe that women should have the right to make their own decisions about their bodies, and politicians should stop trying to put themselves into exam rooms alongside women and their doctors. And yet, there are plenty of conservatives who are already running with a clear record that is out of the mainstream of Wisconsin values on that subject, whether it's for state attorney general, state Supreme Court, or for governor. And we cover all three races when I talk to Lucy Ripp first about gubernatorial candidate and GOP Congressman Tom Tiffany.
Yeah, it very much seemed that he knows that the way he has voted on abortion in the past and endorsements he's gotten and things like that go directly against what the majority of Wisconsinites believe, which is that we want safe and legal abortion access across the state. We don't believe that politicians should be anywhere near that decision. And he has a really long record of going against that. And so it was very clear that he wanted to hide that.
Yeah. And so when he was kind of conveniently removed that information from a personal website, that got noticed by the media and by you mm-hmm. folks as well. Then there's the recent announcement here that Eric Toney is getting into the race for attorney general. He lost to Josh Call last time around, and he has announced another run. And it appears that his positions really haven't changed that much since the last time he ran.
No, it doesn't appear that they have. And the last time he ran, as we've said on our website, Wisconsinites overwhelmingly rejected him. I mean, he is another one of those Republicans who just has very extreme views on abortion that don't align with how Wisconsinites feel. I mean, in previous elections, he's gotten endorsements from some of the most radical anti-abortion groups in Wisconsin. He indicated last time around that he ran that he would try to impose an almost total abortion ban, and an abortion ban that also threatens doctors and nurses with criminal penalties for providing that care. And so he's so extreme about putting politicians like himself in charge of these decisions that he's also advocated for being able to exceed his authority as a local district attorney and cross county lines to impose his beliefs on people who didn't even elect him.
Interestingly, he also, in his announcement, focused on some of the usual boogeymen. There was, of course, undocumented immigrants. There was, problems in Milwaukee. It's always convenient to, blame Milwaukee there. And the thing that we've been watching here up north is that here he is, the named special prosecutor in the case of Wausau Mayor Doug Denny, removing an absentee ballot drop box, which seemed rather curious given that this is a guy, Eric Toney, who himself has said he believed absentee ballot drop boxes should be illegal, and he wanted the state Supreme Court to outlaw them. So I guess we already know where he stands on voting convenience if he's going to run for attorney general again.
Yeah, it's very clear he's not only trying to, you know, police what happens in our exam rooms, but he's also trying to take away ways of voting for the people of Wisconsin.
Yeah, you're also following the appeals court judge Maria Lazar, who is hoping to run for state Supreme Court next year, would quite likely face fellow appeals court judge and former legislator Chris Taylor. But Maria Lazar, again, as we've said, based on her past endorsements and some of her statements, it's also quite clear where she stands on women's reproductive health care rights.
She was caught saying on camera that she thinks the Supreme Court's decision that overturned Roe v. Wade was, quote, very wise. And she also indicated that when the Wisconsin Supreme Court earlier this year struck down an 1800s law that Republicans were trying to use as an abortion ban, she said she doesn't know that she would have agreed with them on that. So she's making it very clear early on that she is anti-abortion rights in Wisconsin.
You know, we've been talking a lot about whether Republicans in Madison or Washington, D.C. Want to show up for work, not whether they have shown up for work, whether they want to. And it's been tough enough for them just given the current conditions. But it seems to have been even more of a problem for one particular Wisconsin legislator. And you happen to notice at A Better Wisconsin Together, a lot of absences from State Representative Shannon Zimmerman from over in the River Falls, Western Wisconsin area. As you were looking at the record, what is it that you felt like his constituents need to know?
Yeah, so with Representative Shannon Zimmerman, as you said, he represents Assembly District 30, which includes areas like River Falls and Hudson and more. And we noticed that on a lot of the floor session days this year, he was just completely absent. He wasn't there. And so we counted it up and we noticed that he has been absent from nearly half of all of the assembly's floor sessions this year. I think that includes March 18th, March 20th, June 18th, September 11th. And so I think what the people in his district need to know is that they elected him to do a job, right? And that job is to represent them in our state legislature and make sure that their voices are heard on the issues that are going to impact their lives, on the issues that matter to them. And right now, it seems like he's not doing that.
Well, certainly not giving it his full attention. And let's be clear, because a lot of people, you know, don't know the employment status of legislators. They are paid a full-time salary, which is not, you know, Wisconsin's now in the minority of states that pay a full-time salary and expect that you are working throughout the course of the year as a state legislator. They may have other jobs, but it's pretty clear when you run for office that this is supposed to be a full-time gig, right?
Right. Yes. And, you know, probably, Pat, that sometimes you just can't be there 7 days a week. You miss a day or two here or there for a family emergency, childcare, sick day, whatever it may be. But I think what's concerning here is just the rate at which he isn't showing up.
Well, because he also has other, you know, alternatives. I mean, there has been discussion before about, you know, he's got a Florida vacation rental business that might be keeping him busy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, even I believe this was back in 2017, he didn't even show up to vote on the state budget, which is one of the most important pieces of legislation that gets passed in Wisconsin. And when you look at why wasn't he there, it's because he was in an Amsterdam airport. So, you know, the biggest thing the legislature does, and he wasn't there to vote on it because he was in Europe.
And again, that is, like you said, that's something that can happen here and there. It happens to people. It's just that there have been so many of these that, you know, for somebody who for, you know, his first few years in office, it was questionable whether he even lived in the district or just outside of the district. It brings some extra attention to a district and constituents who want to know that, you know, he's there for them or that he isn't. And there were some pretty key votes that he missed on those dates in March and June and September that y'all looked up. What are some of the things that he missed votes on, some bills that really address the needs that face Wisconsinites.
Yeah, so notably on some of the days that he didn't bother to show up, he avoided voting on a lot of different bills. I think we tallied it up and it was around 85. But some of them that he avoided voting on by not showing up were bills that would have given wage increases to UW system employees. And he has at least one UW system school in his district. He avoided voting on a bill that would have helped build a mental health facility in the Chippewa Valley. And so he also left them without a voice on that one either.
So A Better Wisconsin Together is watching all of these things. You can check out their website and the whole team over there, including Lucy Ripp, following all kinds of issues and candidates. Lucy, we really appreciate the perspective you bring to this, and thanks for joining us for a few minutes today.
Yeah, thanks for having us, Pat.
Yeah, again, A Better Wisconsin Together, they do research by and large. That's where they got their start. Fair disclosure, I served for a brief time on the board of directors many years ago from A Better Wisconsin Together, when they engaged in all kinds of research about what certain bills would do, or in this case, who did or didn't vote on bills, or the things that they've said, sometimes the things they've said when, you know, they think nobody is listening. But they've also kind of expanded now into capturing the stories of folks around Wisconsin and the way that, you know, they're impacted by the things that politicians do, especially politicians who may not be acting in line with, you know, mainstream Wisconsin values. So over at abetterwisconsin.org, you can scroll down a bit and get to their storytellers and video archive. And you might even see some familiar faces, or you might hear some stories that you feel are worth sharing in your own social media feeds. Some of the posts that you may see over at the A Better Wisconsin Together website. It's just about 7:46 right now, and I wanted to read a post from somebody about some of these cuts that are happening to SNAP benefits and others. And this particular post was written by somebody named Stacy Patton, a journalist and writer, a college professor, teaches journalism at Howard University in Washington, D.C., and has been doing a lot more writing on social media lately, because she's been one of those folks who were targeted by the far right for the way that she reacted to the murder of conservative provocateur Charlie Kirk. And again, you don't have to like what people say about things, and you can criticize what they say about things, but those things have, shall we say, crossed a line in many cases where people have, you know, lost their jobs, or they have faced threats. And frankly, Stacy Patton is one of those who has been getting weeks of abuse, primarily by a bunch of white guys filling her email inbox with racial slurs and things like that. And Howard University has offered her, you know, extra security as well, but she's not really having any of it. She's you know, basically punching back. And one of her posts caught my eye over the weekend about the looming cuts to SNAP benefits. And so I just wanted to read part of that from, again, from Stacy Patton in Howard University, where she writes the following. I'm sick of seeing comments saying that people on SNAP should, quote, just get a job. The reports I see show that over half of working age, non-disabled adults on SNAP were working in a given month, and about 74% worked in the year before or after that month. And a good number of them are college students juggling classes and rent and part-time jobs while trying to keep food on the table. This country doesn't have a laziness problem. It has a wage problem, a greed problem, a you shouldn't have to starve to prove your worth problem. People who make the get a job comment are insecure. They need to believe poverty is a moral failure, because the alternative is that they'd have to reckon with the fact that this particular system of the economy is rigged and that their comfort is built on exploitation. That terrifies them, so they invent a hierarchy where they're the hardworking and everyone else is lazy, even if the data proves them wrong. They're not really defending the work ethic. They're defending a fantasy where their own mediocrity still feels well-earned. And many of these hateful folks crying, get a job, are themselves often just one layoff, one illness, one bad month away from the same line at the social services office. And I've seen plenty of that myself as well. We will be talking to somebody who started their own small business after a journey from Mexico to Wisconsin in our next hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94 East-West Project, which will reconstruct and widen a 3.5-mile stretch of interstate highway in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. This is a massive project with an estimated cost of more than $1.7 billion. And with this official start date announced also came estimates for how long this will take. Construction is expected to last until 2030. At the Recombobulation Area, this project is something we've covered extensively, including with an award-winning four-part series called Expanding the Divide. It might be worth revisiting that series and considering how unnecessary and expensive an extra lane is and how in southeastern Wisconsin, we're going to be dealing with construction and delays for the next 8 years in order to shave a few minutes off suburban commute times while the city streets and city problems go ignored once again.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Mattner.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Civic Media. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
For WRCE News, I'm Tim Thede. Local officials react on news the Trump administration denies additional federal funding for Wisconsin to address public infrastructure damage from this summer's severe flooding. Milwaukee County Executive Dave Crowley with a statement.
Simply put, federal funding is needed to afford the repairs to the public infrastructure that was damaged from the flood so we can continue providing safe infrastructure for our entire community. And without this federal assistance, Milwaukee County is left footing the bill to repair and assess $22 million in public infrastructure.
The denied request for $26.5 million was made by the Evers administration in August for public assistance for FEMA for Door, Grant, Milwaukee, Ozaukee, Washington, and Waukesha counties. Crowley notes Governor Tony Evers plans to file an appeal.
I strongly urge President Trump to approve funding for FEMA public assistance so we can afford to rebuild our roads, our bridges, parks, and our public infrastructure.
In September, the Trump administration did grant a request for $29.8 million in FEMA individual assistance to households and businesses in Milwaukee, Washington, and Waukesha counties. An attack at a Madison high school has led to several arrests. Three teens have been arrested for the attack, described as brutal and caught on tape at Madison West High School. Police say a student was beaten up and kicked in a bathroom late in the morning on October 15th. The student had to be hospitalized. The suspects range in age from 15 to 17. They face multiple charges, including first-degree reckless injury. Madison police say their investigation of the attack continues. A Madison woman accused of attacking her father with a knife is headed to trial. 34-year-old Jamie Anderson faces attempted homicide charges in the August attack. A Dane County judge entered a non-guilty plea on Anderson's behalf on Thursday. She's accused of walking some 18 miles from her home in Madison to Stoughton to attack her father with a knife. He escaped and was able to contact police, who arrested Anderson without further incident. Anderson, who claimed she attacked her father because he was the devil, has been ruled competent to stand trial despite her hallucinations. A nonprofit group is trying to keep a Madison homeless shelter open full-time. The new Northside facility is set to open in April 2026, but current funding levels won't cover housing residents 24/7. Shelter Friends of Dane County says it needs roughly $50 a person a day to run the building full-time, or over $4.5 million a year. Madison and Dane County officials are contributing to an endowment for the facility, but Shelter Friends still needs about $1 million in investments to hit their full-time goal. The parents of a 4-year-old West Allis boy faces charges in the child's death. 31-year-old Charlotte Couric and 21-year-old Devario Cruz face multiple felony charges in Milwaukee County Court in the death of Dante Campbell. Police say Dante was found covered in bruises on his arm, back, face, and head, and that Cruz admitted to police that he had struck his son, but that he had only used his hands. Cruz is also suspected of abusing other children in the home, including Dante's twin sister. He's being held on a $250,000 cash bond. Couric is held on a $100,000 bond. Her other children have been taken into care. Healthcare providers are trying a new tactic to promote the healing effects of nature. They're actually writing prescriptions for it. Time in nature can lower blood pressure and reduce at least the perception of stress. Doctors recommending time outdoors isn't new, but hundreds of them over the last decade have taken to issuing formal prescriptions in hopes of getting people to follow through. Park Prescription America helps providers set up nature prescriptions. They say nearly 2,000 healthcare providers are registered with them and have issued more than 7,000 nature prescriptions since 2019. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources reminds hunters and the public to help keep the state's deer herd healthy by following all baiting and feeding bans and refraining from baiting and feeding in areas where no bans are in effect. Baiting is the intentional placement of any material, including food, scented materials, salts, minerals, and grains, to attract wild animals for hunting purposes. Feeding is the deliberate placement of materials used to feed or attract wild animals for non-hunting purposes, including recreational and supplemental feeding, except as allowed for birds and small mammals. Baiting and feeding encourages deer to congregate unnaturally around a specific location, creating an environment where infected deer can quickly spread diseases like chronic wasting disease through direct contact with healthy deer or through indirect contact in the environment. Infected deer can also leave infectious CWD prions behind in their saliva, blood, feces, and urine, creating a risk in any healthy deer that may visit the site in the future. CWD can spread rapidly when these prions remain in the area where more deer are sure to congregate, such as a feed pile. CWD is an always fatal disease that affects the nervous system of deer, elk, moose, and caribou, caused by misshapen prion protein. In counties where baiting and feeding bans are in effect, individuals may still feed birds and small mammals, provided feeding devices are within 50 yards of a human dwelling and at a sufficient height or design to prevent access by deer. Find more information on baiting and feeding regulations and a map of counties with active bans on the DNR's baiting and feeding regulations webpage. Richland Center High School choirs will present a fall concert on Tuesday at 7:30 in the high school auditorium. There are 30 freshman singers this year and 86 upperclassmen. The evening will include a mixture of old standards and new treasures. Cost of admission is $5.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henry.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump is now in Japan, where he will meet the new prime minister for the first time. She's the country's first woman prime minister. Plans are for the two leaders to discuss trade. Later this week, trade talks with China will be held as President Trump's tour of Asian countries continues. Hurricane Melissa has grown to a powerful Category 5 storm as it approaches Jamaica. ABC's Anika Jachi is in Kingston and has been talking to tourists.
How am I going to get home?
With all major airports now closed on the island, many tourists suddenly finding themselves stuck, caught in the path.
They are blocked out flights all week.
We spoke with Donnelly Gordon, an American visiting from Atlanta, who has been desperate to get off the island since Friday.
Officials say as much as 40 inches of rain could fall in Jamaica. Government shutdown continues. Now the Agriculture Department is warning that the nation's supplemental food program will not be funded past this weekend. This is ABC News.